final panelist is Robert Patterson. Mr. Patterson is Senior Liaison Officer in the Washington Office of the Food and Agricultural Organization. He coordinates the FAO's activities with the private and with private and non-governmental sectors, giving priority to community-based action in sustainable, people-driven, local and global solutions to hunger and poverty. Please join me in welcoming Robert Patterson.
Hi, this will just take a second here. Make sure I know what I'm doing. Okay. Greetings from Dan Gustafson, my boss, who couldn't make it today. He's at the Borlaug Memorial down in Texas. And frankly, Dan is much more in tune with the topic we have, this panel's topic. So here's what you get. another middle-aged male with a PowerPoint. No graphs, no acronyms, and no statistics. But I do have a lisp, and I speak in a monotone, and I tend to swallow my words, so.
Bring us home.
And I'll bring you home, and don't worry, I'm not going to take a lot of time. I don't have an awful lot to say. For a couple of reasons. First, I'm really nervous. I don't go to a lot of conferences, so that's incentive for me to keep it short. And secondly, because I'm particularly unqualified to speak on this topic of FAO's response to the challenge of food security. I'm unqualified because I tend to be institutionally illiterate. And I aggressively maintain and pursue that ignorance. I hope you're not too tired. I'm kind of tired too, and we'll get out of this really quickly. I'm not as tired though as if I'd spent the day transplanting paddy rice, or hauling water, or breaking up hard packed ground. I think I'd be much more tired from that. Nonetheless, it's been a long day. So as we wind up, we're going to look at a few photos and relax a little bit, if that's all right with you. That's it. Is that one going to switch? Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. I mentioned that I find it difficult to speak about FAO's institutional response to this crisis. But it's not difficult for me to show you what FAO has asked me to do as part of my job within this crisis, although it's a very, very tiny, tiny part of our overall response. Most of my time is spent coordinating a project that we call the Growing Connection, and that's the source of all of these photos. The people here in this project I consider friends, and they're helping me through this difficult presentation. And they're obviously much more articulate than I am. This project, the Growing Connection, is a very simple approach to what has been constantly described for the last 2 days as a complex problem. It's a simple approach. I'm not saying it's the solution. It's just an approach to an aspect of it. And what we do in this project, in this initiative, is provide access to tools for growing vegetables. No tools with motors, no motors involved, no pumps, no irrigation schemes. No motorcycles, no cars, no taxis. We also provide access to information wherever possible. You can do amazing things with a phone and a photo these days. And we provide access for the project's participants to each other. Essentially, we build gardens with people. We do it now in about 12 countries. We have 130 of these gardens around the world. Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean, and in the USA. We build very, very water and space-efficient gardens with women and with young people. By the way, sidebar. I'm really glad to be here in Montreal. I was born here. I don't get here very often. And my dad's a graduate of McDonald College. So it's nice to be here at McGill. But I'm also really depressed that there are very few women and young people among the speakers and the panelists. Maybe that's because women and young people are out farming. I don't know. But women and young people do the farming, and a single recommendation for me would get some of those people on your panels in the future. Otherwise, you're just talking to each other. Anyway, those are most of the people that I work with building these gardens. We ask them to learn intensive vegetable production, simple methods that we use. We ask them to document their process, document what they do, tell their stories, photograph their stories. And wherever it's possible through the miracle of information technology, we link them together with each other, basically trying to build a network of people around the world who understand how to grow highly valuable, highly nutritious vegetables for their own consumption and, if possible, to go to market with. There's no need for governmental participation in this project. In fact, there is no governmental participation in this project. We work with NGOs around the world. We tell the governments that we'd like to do this. We invite extension officers, district officers to come to our training sessions. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But the key is we don't ask them for anything. And then we're not beholden. We do make sure that the NGOs we work with have all their bona fides in place. Because I don't think the real solution has to do with governments or institutions at all. We can get things done people to people without them. And this is, I think, a pretty good representation of that. While we're relaxing and looking at these pictures, and I'd be happy to talk about the techniques that we use afterwards with whoever's interested in growing vegetables, I'd like to make a few very personal comments on some of the concepts that we've been talking about now for a day and a half. And these are very personal comments. These are the comments of a 30-year FAO employee. They're not the comments of FAO. First, we've been using the term over and over again, it's on the pamphlet, of a global financial crisis. That when I travel around and work with people and build these gardens in villages and in barrios, nobody mentions the financial crisis. These people are poor for the most part. They've always been poor. They have no money. You can't sink into a crisis if you don't have any money to begin with. So something makes me think that this crisis mentality is more recognized by governments and institutions. You can call me a cynic if you want to, but I don't think it's really seen by the people who are struggling day to day as a crisis. It's what they live with. There's another term, and this is a personal bugbear, food security and food insecurity. The folks that I work with, not in these rooms, but never use these terms, food security or food insecurity. Those are euphemisms. The words I hear are hungry, or hungry season, or sick, or my child's belly is empty, or I hear things like there's no water, there's no good land. I just think we can get away from some of these euphemisms and really talk clearly about what's going on and encourage people to get active in practical solutions. I heard a sort of a new one today, nutrition interventions. And I'd really like to know if that means eating food. I kind of think it does. The third concept, which has bracketed us for a day and a half, is this notion of helping the poor. It's a very blunt way of saying it, helping the poor. I keep hearing this in many different forms, and I didn't write them all down, but the notion is there's a role for parts of the world to help other parts of the world, or parts of communities to help other parts of the communities. And I fear that this gives us a bit of a warped perspective. One of the things I've learned in 30 years in this business, and it's a business and it's gone on for many more than 30 years, the poor cannot rely on politicians. And the poor cannot rely on institutions. The poor must rely on themselves. If there is help to be done, it's to help create an environment where the poor have access to tools, access to training, access to information, and access to each other. And that's what we're trying to do. I'd like to close with a couple of very rhetorical questions, if I could. First, do you see the pride and the dignity on the faces of these people who are growing food? That's the thing that always touches me. It's the looks on their faces. Second rhetorical question. All the talk we've had about food and production, nobody's mentioned the joy of food. Nobody's mentioned how food tastes, how it makes us feel really, really good. And when you have fresh vegetables on your plate that you harvest from right beside your house, that's some of the best things. That's one of the best sensual things you can do several times a day. The third question, and I learned this from personal experience because it's so rewarding, ask yourselves, when is the last time that you ate something that you grew yourself? It's important. And it's really easy to do. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Robert, for I think bringing us back as we come to the end of the panelists.